Welcome back to Passive Income Pilots, everyone. Tate Duryea and Ryan Gibson here for another week of financial education. How you doing, Ryan? Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Good to see you, Tate. Hope everybody's having a great start to this year.
Yeah, I don't know when this is going to air, but we are, full disclosure, we're recording this on Tuesday, January 6th, so it's fresh.
Wow. It's fresh. It's fresh. We'll try to get this out as soon as we can because it's an important topic today.
Yes.
You know, a lot of listeners, you know, have come to me and they're like, hey, you know, the CPA you recommended me to, a little too much horsepower for my situation. And, you know, I don't really need to spend that much money on my tax preparation. I just have my W-2 income from the airlines and I have your syndication or Tate's or syndication from this past year. You know, who do I use? And I think we finally found a guy and we're going to bring him on today. We're going to talk about, you know, just the basic stuff, you know, how to really reposition, you know, as best as possible your savings on taxes when you don't really have a lot of things outside of your W-2 going on. Like you don't have an active business, you don't have a bunch of rental real estate, just have the basics today. So Tate, you want to talk about kind of what we covered? Yeah.
Or if you do, I really liked the conversation with Gary because it wasn't, you know, what he does isn't just related to taxes and saving taxes. He's not a CPA firm, but he's more like a family office. He's more like that air traffic controller for your entire financial picture. And that actually is something that is valuable for everyone, no matter how sophisticated or just starting out you are. If you just have that W-2 and nothing else, you know, they can pop the hood and look at your benefits plans. If you have, you know, multiple businesses and a bunch of real estate and you're claiming rep status and you're doing the short-term rental loophole and you're doing all these different things, you know, they're sort of that air traffic controller that can oversee the entire plan and liaise with your attorney firm and your CPA firm and, you know, all the different pieces of that financial plan, which I really like. That's, you know, something that I mentioned during the show that has a lot of high net worth people have that, you know, the average Joe doesn't.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I hope people take away a few things from that. So I'm going to talk about who we're bringing on today. So Gary Helt, he's a CPA. He's the owner of Small Business Advisors. He also has a podcast called Grow Your Business and Grow Your Wealth podcast, where he talks about to financial experts, attorneys, entrepreneurs, and he shares their insights and fellow business owners overall. And he's basically a seasoned CPA. He works with a lot of federal government retirees, military folks, men and women that live in the DC, Northern Virginia, Maryland, and beyond. And for over 25 years, he's had a firm helping these people with their taxes and tax prep and tax strategy and things like that. So helping both individual clients and business owners. So with that, let's get to the show.
Let's get to it.
Welcome to Passive Income Pilots, where pilots upgrade their money. This is the definitive source for personal finance and investment tactics for aviators. We interview world-renowned experts and share these lessons with the flying community. So if you're ready for practical knowledge and insights, let's roll.
Gary, such a pleasure to bring you onto the show today. We had the opportunity to meet in the hallway at the Anderson Tax Advisors event, and I just thought you had such a great story. Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about your background and kind of how you help business owners and individuals with their taxes?
Sure. First, you know, thank you for letting me be here with you guys. You know, and it was great, you know, talking with you, you know, out in Dallas. Learned a lot. So I started Small Business Advisors back in you know, January of 2000. And kind of what we're gonna go back in time and really what got me into accounting and everything else. I remember when I think I was in junior high school and my mom, who was a school teacher, you know, raising myself and my two sisters by herself, had to get tax returns prepared for some reason. And I mean, I always remember her doing her own, but she went to somebody. And when she went to them, they really didn't help her and charged her like $500. And this is back in the, you know, early, you know, late 70s, early 80s, you know, charging $500 was a lot of money. And she still had problems after that. So at that point, I kind of decided, okay, look, I want to get into this and so forth. And I went ahead and when I got to high school, one of my football coaches taught a bookkeeping class. I took the bookkeeping class. And to me, it was kind of like the Matrix. I just saw it. And it just, you know, at that point, I was just like, okay, this is what I'm going to go do. Originally thought I was going to go into FBI and get the next Al Capone, but that didn't work out for me. So it worked for some for-profits, nonprofits and stuff. And then finally got to the point where I was just like, okay, I like making people, helping people make a lot of money, saving taxes and strategies and things like that. But I want to start doing this for myself. And so I went out, you know, on my own and started, you know, 20 people, kind of, then next thing you know, it's 40, the next thing, just kept growing. And so much of it, I think that the growth has been because I'm able to talk to individuals and businesses, put things in layman's terms that they can understand it. Don't talk in a bunch of acronyms, not that professional that tries to talk over everybody's head to make myself feel better about myself and make them afraid to ask questions. In 2016, I really kind of made a pivot, took some tax planning classes and became a certified tax coach. And with that, I really learned about when I'm looking at tax returns now, I'm looking for missed opportunities. I'm not looking for, hey, did the prior CPA do something right or do something wrong or not give them the right advice in setting up their structure. But now really looking at how is their entity structured? How is, you know, what kind of retirement plan do they have? What other businesses can they have that can work in conjunction with what they're doing? Hence the reason why I went out to Anderson, because I really, you know, I handle a lot of the tax and accounting side of things, but I don't do the, I'm going to call asset protection. And that's something that Anderson does very, very well in helping you structure everything that you have so you're able to protect your assets. And for those businesses that you really don't want people knowing that you're the owner of, are able to help shield that. And that's, you know, kind of why I went out there, to help me come full circle with being able to provide, you know, pretty much the resources that people need.
Makes sense.
Understood. Gary, what's the number one thing that you see people miss that aren't business owners, that are just high income W-2 professionals? You know, we have a lot of listeners that, you know, you said that, you know, Anderson does a great job of entity structuring and asset protection, but I have calls with a lot of investors of ours who are like, I don't know if I need this big high horsepower asset protection structure because I don't have any rental properties. I have a few kids. I got a home. I got a high W-2. What do those people miss? And if they aren't missing anything, what can they do?
Sure. So I think sometimes, you know, simple stuff as in not looking at what benefits they have through work. I'm right outside of DC and I have a lot of people that do work for the federal government, state government. They have a pretty good benefit package and where they can put away pre-tax, you know, their health insurance is withdrawn pre-tax, but they can also have, they have flexible spending accounts, dependent care, and that dependent care isn't just for kids, it's also for parents and so forth. But they're not taking advantage of those. So when you look at those are things where I'm going to say it's not thousands of dollars that they're going to save, it's hundreds of dollars that they're going to save, but you do a few of those together that. So, and those aren't real sexy things, but those are your single base hits that you like to help keep you going. But then they need to look at, okay, what investments can I get involved in that will help me from a tax standpoint that are going to give me the ROI that I'm looking for? So many people are looking at, hey, I'm in the stock market and they're doing some trading and things like that. They don't know what they're doing and they're trying to make that work. And that just, I mean, to me, doesn't make sense. Let the professionals do what they're good at. There are some investments that do have great tax benefits to them. And those are things that typically their financial advisor isn't giving. I'm going to just call them alternative investments because it's not something that their financial advisor is necessarily going to tell them about. A, part of it is because they can't. And part of it is because they don't know, because that's not the circle that they're running in. So those are some of the things that I think that people are missing out on. You know, you talked a little bit about Anderson and what they're doing. And one of the things that, you know, I kind of knew, but didn't really think about it. You know, I have a son that just turned 18, and they're saying, hey, you know, yes, you have insurance and everything else, but if he does something in that vehicle that happens to be in your name, because he couldn't get it in his name and it's all insured in your name, you're going to take the hit when something happens. And that's something we all don't think about, that because we're thinking more, okay, how can I pay as little as possible, but still have the coverage that I need to have so I don't get in trouble.
Right.
So, you know, those are some of the things that really were like, I'm going to say a smack in the face when we were in Dallas, that it was just kind of like, oh, you're right.
Yeah. It's definitely eye-opening to hear examples of how liabilities sort of can be everywhere. And the more we acquire as pilots, the more we have to lose.
Right.
And so the more we kind of have to think about how to protect ourselves. I really appreciate your perspective on just, it sounds like you're very consultative with your clients and, you know, hey, yeah, you're just a W-2. Yeah, you just have a couple of kids and a house and maybe not a lot of rental activity or real estate activity or complications in your life. But I really like how you kind of just unpack, like, you know, do you have an HSA? Do you have an FSA? Do you have a life insurance, whole life insurance policy? Like, it seems like you're sitting down and you're sort of almost acting not as an advisor, but just as an overall, like, or wealth manager, but just kind of a, hey, let's make sure you're, you know, going through all
like a consigliere.
yeah, exactly. And I think that's so important. And if you're CPA is not doing that with you, I think that's a red flag in my opinion, because, you know, you don't pay, you know, thousands of dollars to get your tax return done to just have somebody do what you can do in TurboTax in, you know, 20 or 25 minutes right. For free, right? Like, you, like, as a pilot, like, we need to make sure that we're going and we're actually getting the benefit out of working with a CPA. That is kind of the point, right? Is to make sure that you've done everything, and then, you know, even have the CPA maybe be a little suggestive, like you recommended, which is like, hey, you haven't done these things and, you know, you have these FSAs and you have these different vehicles available to you. Maybe next year you consider using them, or, you know, we can make adjustments to that now. And I just think that's so critical because, you know, yeah, maybe it might be hundreds of dollars, but, you know, base hits end up making runs earned, right? And runs earned wins games, right? And it's like all these little things that just start to add up, and it just becomes good common practice. I love it.
I think, yeah, I mean, certainly looking at it, and I always try to explain, there are tax preparers, and even some CPAs are just tax preparers. So they're historians. They're taking the information that you have given them and putting it on forms, and that's what you're paying for. Get that. But if you want more than that, part of it is, A, you need to let them know that, hey, look, I'm looking for more than just somebody to prepare my taxes, because the fees are going to be different. If all I'm doing is I'm cranking out a 1040 for you and not giving you any advice or anything else, fine, you know, here you go. But, you know, if that's what you want, then you go to H&R Block or one of the other box stores to do that for you. But if you truly want some advice and some tax planning, you got to make sure that whoever you're going to, ask them if they do that. And if it's at the very end of the year telling you, hey, go buy another vehicle of 6,000 pounds, you know, I already got four. What do I need a fifth for, type thing? So you want to make sure of that. A lot of the things that, you know, we've done here at the end of the year that we did at the end of 25 for our clients is really looking at, you know, charitable donations, because with the big, beautiful bill, that changes in 2026. What other things are expiring or are being more difficult to be used in 2026? So we're, you know, kind of loading that up in 2025 and just making sure that you have that open dialogue. One of the things that we do is on a weekly basis. We send out emails, you know, to our individual clients and to our business clients, two separate emails, just talking about stuff. We talked about the big, beautiful bill. We talk about, you know, hey, these are documents to keep and how long to keep them for. Talked about, you know, kind of college planning and when's the right time to start and stuff like that. So it's just information. So if your CPA certainly isn't doing something like that, you really want to find somebody that is, because with us, we're always constantly saying, hey, you know, they read the email, and always at the bottom is, let us know if you want to have a meeting to talk about this. Just because I just find that the more that we educate our clients on what's out there, the better that they're going to be, you know, from a tax standpoint.
You know, I love that. I always say, you know, pick a self-directed IRA custodian based on a couple of things, which is one, make sure they have a brokerage link, but two, make sure they have an educational platform. Because, you know, unfortunately, for all of our listeners and for all of us, like, you have this podcast, but you're kind of on your own. You don't have a quarterback of your home financials and all of your different dealings. And, you know, everybody who's kind of servicing your household financials is got some motivation. Like, they're trying to sell you a product, they're trying to sell you a certain part of things, or maybe they're probably not your fiduciary. So it's really important to have, you know, sort of a quarterback to, you know, your taxes. And so, you know, you really want to make sure that you can educate yourself and pick investments and things like that. And I highly encourage you, if you're listening, you know, we'll have some show notes, I'm sure, to get on Gary's newsletter, that, you know, you can then learn these things 100%. In bite-sized. And that's how I've gotten educated. And I know that you have a podcast as well. We'll also put a link to that in the show notes. And I'm sure you go over these things. I did want to ask, though, you know, you mentioned, you know, you can schedule a call to talk about those things. And this is something that usually is like a thorn in my side when it comes to CPAs, right? I remembered, you know, when I'm first getting into some rental properties, first getting into real estate, or when I had tax or CPA questions, every time I talk to my CPA, I feel like I got a bill in the mail. How does your billing work?
Yeah.
You know, how do you deal with clients who've got questions? And I'm not talking around tax time. I'm talking right during the year and, hey, should I do this? How will it impact my return? How do you kind of handle clients and things like that?
Yeah. So I'm going to say typically, you know, that's not something that we're going to charge additional for. You know, if it's something where, you know, somebody's asking us to analyze a business, you know, that they're thinking about getting into the ROI, that's a totally different engagement. But if they want to sit down and talk about, hey, I'm thinking about, matter of fact, I had a call this morning with someone who, him and his sister Justin inherited a beach house from the parents. And hey, what do we need to do? You know, we want to set up, you know, we want to set this up as a quasi rental property and so forth. So, you know, I talked to him and his sister for about 45 minutes today, just kind of talking about, you know, structuring his LLC, what they need to do with that, you know, making sure the house gets, they get that appraisal, you know, because they want that step up in basis, and just talked about, hey, these are the expenses you need to keep track of. Talking to them about the rules in that, you know, hey, you can only use it for, you know, the 14 days for yourself. If you do more than that, then the rules are different and stuff. So we just talked about that. They're not getting a bill from me for that, because this is something that I feel that we need to be there to help the clients not make that mistake. Now, Ryan, I will say that if you know, you're calling me every month and we're having, you know, 45 minute to an hour conversations, you know, we're going to talk and we're going to, you know, get you into a different package than you are with us to make sure that we're giving you that time.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
Gary, I'm curious, what would you call yourself? I was kind of joking when I said consigliere, but, you know, this sounds a lot like family office. And, you know, for individuals that have north of $15, $20 million net worth, that's a normal thing for them, right? Because, you know, that little beneficiary plan that you were talking about, there's a few hundred bucks. It's like, well, now you're adding more zeros behind everything, and cents become dollars, and dollars become hundreds of dollars, and so on and so forth. So I think that the higher net worth end of the spectrum gets a lot of this hands-on attention that you're talking about, where right. they have somebody who's on staff, or it's a multifamily office where there's somebody who's working for a couple of families, but they really pop the hood and look at everything and optimize everything and tune everything accordingly and make sure that, you know, there aren't missed tax deductions, that make sure that there aren't missed deadlines that end up in penalties and fees, make sure that things are just optimized and running smoothly. So, I mean, would you consider yourself sort of a multifamily office, or what's your self-proclaimed title?
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna say I don't have a title, because it's like I'm the chief bottle washer and chef and everything yeah. else. In that I don't try to do everything myself, because I don't, you know, my expertise is in, you know, the tax side of things. And, you know, I do have other professionals that we partner together. One of my big things, in a book I wrote, you know, The Right Team, The Right Plan, is picking your professional team and letting them talk.
Right.
Because I think that that's something that happens all the time, is people do stuff in a silo. And then yes. the next thing you know, it's like, you did what? And it's like, now I got to try to unweave all of this stuff, as compared to if you're going to go do something, you know, your attorney and I are talking, your financial or wealth advisor and I are talking, you know, you're getting into something that Spartan's doing, and, you know, Ryan and I are talking. I mean, those are the things that I think that really need to happen, that don't happen, that you're right. The ultra wealthy have that team of people that they just pick up the phone and boom, it's all done.
And there's a central nervous system, right?
Yeah.
There, it's so often that your attorney and your tax preparer, or hopefully tax professional,
right,
aren't talking. So the right hand isn't yep. talking to the left hand. The attorney's setting up an entity structure that the tax preparer isn't familiar with. You know, I had a previous CPA in a past life that did all these S elections on LLCs that held real estate. So I couldn't refinance any of them because when I pulled them out, I had to, you know, it's like stuff like this where it's like, yep. the right hand isn't talking to the left and right. So creating that central nervous system where there's one point of contact that's sort of overseeing, they're like the air traffic controller, overseeing the tax strategy, the asset protection strategy, you know, insurance, trusts, benefits, all this sort of stuff. And they're seeing the entire airport, so to speak, and making sure that everything runs efficiently. It's wonderful.
So another example that I can give you, the other day, doing year-end projections for a client. And, you know, they just retired, got involved in a tax strategy, you know, investment. And because of that, they have a big tax loss. So they have quite a bit of capital gains because they got into NVIDIA really, really early. So they have some huge, huge gains there. Well, when I looked at it based on the tax strategy that they were using, their taxable income was basically going to be zero. So I reached out to the advisor and said, hey, you know, what do we have in gains and stuff like that? And I said, let's take a look at this and figure out where can we get to that point where, you know, we're not getting them into too high of a tax bracket and not having to take a whole lot of money out of their account. So I worked with the financial advisor with that. We came up with a plan, called the client and said, hey, client, this is what we're thinking. You know, we still have time to do this before the end of the year, but let's optimize what you've done in this tax strategy to really make it worth your while. And, you know, we sold another $175,000 of NVIDIA, and they're not going to still aren't going to pay any taxes.
Yeah.
And it just because of their age and their particular circumstance. But that's something that, you know, when I'm talking about working with that team, that's what your team should be doing, instead of me just saying, okay, you don't owe any taxes this year. Great.
Right.
You know,
yeah, congratulations.
But then next year you got that big tax bill.
Right. And we talk about this on other episodes. I think Toby calls it bracketology.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to get down to zero, right? I mean, the first tax bracket is zero. So like
right.
do something, sell some stock. Roth chunk, you know, you can convert some traditional money over to Roth to get your tax burden back up. And it also helps for lenders if you're looking for credit the following year, right? 100%. Showing $0 on your tax return. You know, lenders don't like that. So
I'm so glad you brought that up, Tate. That was the brachiology. That's like a genius move. I mean,
right.
Because if you get it reduced down to so low, I mean, everybody knows the graduated tax scale. So you have the, you know, you can have a lower percentage, but you know, in subsequent years, if you do it, you could be in a very high tax bracket. So
right.
One thing that I really wanted to pick up on is, you know, early on in my investment career, I was always a little gun shy, but it's highly encouraged to get your CPA, your attorney, your whole team talking, and even appropriate to get on a conference call together so that there is cross-pollination between what you're papering in your legal documents or what you're doing in your investment strategy, and then how it impacts you on your taxes. So I just really wanted to underscore that. That's really important to do. In fact, I had a call this morning and my attorneys were on the call and my CPAs were on the call. Yep. And we were doing some tax structuring. Now, my business is a little complex and robust. However, it's a really good idea, even when you're putting together your trust and your estate,
yes,
to just connect everybody together. And the really good ones will know exactly what to do and kind of sort themselves out on who's doing what and what's appropriate. The other thing I wanted to stress too is some of our best investors, I get emails from their accountants every year. So every year, about maybe October, November, December timeframe, I'll get an email from some sophisticated investors and their accountant, and he'll or she will ask, hey, you know, what happened in this person's portfolio this year? Did you guys sell any properties? Did you buy any properties? You know, kind of give me a rundown so I can tax plan for this individual for next year. And I just think I'm always happy to respond to those emails and really be detailed and even jump on a call with the tax advisor because they're doing their job.
Yep.
You know, they're actually right. Preparing the client's financials. So this is such a great example. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Again, it, you know, just keeps going back to me, you can't do enough planning because, you know, it not just the professional is doing the planning, but them also explaining it to you so you understand. You know, I had another situation a few months ago where the dad, very lucky, got in very early with the company and has a lot of stock with basically, you know, zero basis, but, you know, very, very high value in it. And so they're doing, you know, trying to do some tax planning, estate planning, and so forth. Well, the attorney set up, you know, some trust for him, but then also for his kids. And one of them is a irrevocable trust. And in that irrevocable trust, it's a grantor trust, which means that everything still goes on dad's tax return. So the person that was involved before I got there, you know, the CPA didn't tell the client that, hey, all of this revenue that's generated in this irrevocable trust, because it's a grantor trust, is going on dad's tax return. So dad wasn't making it the estimated payments that needed to be made to cover all this. And he just got hammered in penalties because he was significantly underpaid. And, you know, we're talking six figure, you know, almost seven figure underpaid. And then so the penalties on top of that. But once I explained to the client that, hey, this is what happened, so forth. And they're like, well, why didn't the other guy explain it to me that way? And I'm like, that's the difference in when you're getting somebody who is going to be an advisor to you, just not a tax preparer.
But right, what you said right there, making estimated tax payments, if you're an airline pilot listening to this, it's likely that you have never had to deal with this in your entire life. Because a lot of our listeners are prior military, you know, you're in the military, yep. you're serving your country, the paycheck shows up, you don't have to think about these things. You get out, you go to the airlines, your W-2, all that stuff's taken care of for you. Now all of a sudden, you know, you start doing some investments outside of your W-2 job. You maybe you start a side hustle, you got some other thing going on. Now these are things that can bite you if you don't know what you're doing. And you know, estimated tax payments are a thing that you have to learn about, you know, when you have your own business. So having an advisor on your team that can, man, I mean, it's just, this is a classic example of you know, spending the money up front to make sure that you don't make the really expensive mistakes. But in any case, who would these services not be right for? If somebody's listening and thinking, boy, I should give Gary a call, who would you get on the phone with and say, you know what, you don't have enough going on and it's really not a good fit?
I don't want to say that there's nobody, but I mean, reality is that there's nobody. I mean, I think everybody needs, you know, our services. Does it need to necessarily be me? Not necessarily, but I mean, I think that everybody needs to have that tax planning, you know, CPA. You know, we even work with our, you know, existing clients' kids, you know, and them going into the workforce for the first time and trying to talk to them about, hey, let's start putting some money away now in your, you know, 401k Roth provision or whatever it is, because you're not used to making this money. So let's go ahead and start putting away now. And then you're not going to have to worry about that, but try to get them set up, you know, from the beginning. You know, you talked about the people that have retired from the military and that are now pilots for, you know, if it's FedEx or anybody else. Now they have a lot of extra money that they're able to invest that they may not have been able to do when they were in the military. Well, they're not thinking about it because they're not taking any money out of those portfolios, but that's still income that's earned and they don't think about it and they do need to pay taxes on that. We find lots of times when they make that transition that they don't realize that we need to have that discussion. Also, people that are in that, hey, I'm retiring, now they have this income that's coming, that's not coming from a W-2 anymore, that usually they, I'm going to say, over withheld from W-2 to compensate for this other income that they have. Well, now their 1099 retirement income, they don't have that, or if they're drawing off investments, they're not thinking about that. Or if they start another business because now, hey, I'm retired, I have time and I have this passion or whatever. I think that the estimated tax payment thing is something that is way overlooked. And I know for our clients, what we do, we help them with the estimated payments, but then we will mail out to them that estimated tax coupon, you know, the first week of April, first week of June, first week of September, and then here in December, so they can get the payments in. But we do that because inevitably they forget, and this is their reminder to make that payment when they get those coupons in the mail. But that's something that it is extremely important. I mean, I think anybody with a business, even, you know, you may think it's too small, but you definitely want to do that. I'll tell you, our sweet spot with tax planning is really someone who is in the 32 to 37% tax bracket federally, because there's so much that can be done that we can help you get down to the 24% tax bracket. And that's a huge difference there. You know, so looking at that is extremely important.
Yeah, I'm liking that, you know, you've come on to the show and talked about this, because we do have some partner CPA firms that might be just a little bit too much horsepower for the investor that comes in. And so I do think it's, you know, if you don't have, you know, there's a lot of listeners, most of our listeners are in the 32 to 37% tax bracket now, frankly, but a lot of them, probably most of our listeners are not going to have a ton of activity going on in their W-2 income to justify, right, you know, pulling out the cart for a, you know, horsepower of a real estate, you know, things like that. So it is nice and refreshing to kind of hear that, you know, there's someone who kind of, you know, there's a lot more engagement, education, and sort of connectiveness and the consultative side of, hey, what can we do to, like, you know, take a W-2 and get this thing as optimized as we can, given your circumstances, but not over horsepowered in that, like, you know, you're overcharging for something that really isn't even there. I love right. that. I love right. that fact. So I think that will really help our listeners quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, because again, the tax savings that you can get, then you can then take that money and invest in those investments, in those other deals that you really want to get involved in.
Yeah.
And, but you got to find the money somewhere. And I always like saying, hey, I'm going to take my tax capital and invest that and not have to pay the additional tax on it right now.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, you wouldn't believe what that does over compounded over 20 years, you know, if you take an extra $100,000 a year that you were going to give to the IRS and instead you invest it. It's unbelievable what that does at the end of 20 years. Do the math on that.
I mean, one of the big things that I love doing with business owners is having them get their younger kids involved, getting them a job, taking that money that they're making and putting it, starting up a Roth for them and putting it in a Roth. I mean, you know, you think about it, you start that when your kid is 13, 14 and run that until they graduate college. By the time, you know, they're 59 and a half, you know, how many millions of dollars are probably going to be in that Roth account for them that they're going to be able to pull out tax-free?
Right. And I want to point out the reason you're saying Roth is because, you know, as someone who makes $500,000 a year, the question of should I Roth or should I traditional? Well, you really want the traditional at that point because you want the tax write-off, right? You're like, ugh, I could do Roth, but I'm going to have to pay 37% taxes on this money first and then put it into the account. Your kid doesn't have that issue. They're at a 0% Correct. Tax rate. So they're going to be in the exact same tax situation, whether they put it into traditional or Roth. So it's a complete no-brainer to go Roth. And it seeds that Roth account that can just grow tax-free for their entire Right. lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just where, you know, I'm, you know, said that because you're talking about just that compound effect.
Right.
And that's
Right.
where it's like, okay, you know, so many people, you know, start so much later in that savings. And this is an easy way to, you know, have your kids start because, you know, our parents and grandparents, everybody, they had the pension plans.
Right.
You know, those really aren't around anymore. So, you know, everything is going to be have to be what you save yourself. And I don't want, you know, my kids, I don't want them to have to rely on getting Social Security to hopefully have some type of retirement.
Yeah.
You know, on the topic of kids, what other things do you see parents that, you know, what can they do with their kids to really position them for success and maybe get some tax benefits? You mentioned the Roth. Is there any other things that come to mind?
You know, again, if you have a business, putting them on payroll, you know, giving them a you know, obviously they have to have a bona fide job and so forth, but getting them on payroll and paying them a wage. And to me, the big thing is teaching them about savings. I think that's something, you know, if you look in our school systems, the financial literacy is not there anymore. And I think that's something that, you know, talk about money. Even if you're struggling with paying your bills and stuff like that, you need to talk to your kids about that. And why is it that you're struggling? Because I made a bad investment, or I've overextended, or we're living in a house that's probably way too big for us. And, you know, we're struggling. You want your kid to understand that so they can learn from it to be able to help them. But then just talk to them about savings. You know, I think the simple compounding of interest is something we don't talk about, but it's there. There totally. Are so many investment tools that are there that you don't have to be risky, that at the kid's age, it's so young, will grow so much. You know, so I definitely think that, you know, that's something for them to look at. I mean, this is more of a pet peeve of mine than anything else, is kids that are going to college and that the parents are paying for them to go to a large school because it's a party school, it's a this, it's a that, not necessarily because that's the best place that they're going to get the education for what they want to do. And then the parents are spending, you know, six figures and up per year for their kid to go to school there. And then when the kid graduates, they're not going to have a job that they can get that's going to pay for that education. Again, that's just a pet peeve of mine. And I think it's like, you know, reality, you know, setting in and needing to really look at that. I think that another piece is, you know, the trades. You know, so many people are retiring now that, you know, there's such a shortage of it. You know, we're going to find that we're going to be paying more for those plumbers, electricians, and mechanics and stuff like that than we're paying our CPAs for doing our taxes. I mean, it's going to be there. You know, so it's looking at that,
Yeah, I mean, they're saying with AI, actually, I want to dig into that just for a moment, because I think that that's fascinating that in, you know, who knows, maybe in 50 years, you know, your plumbing will be able to be done by a robot, right? But that's not right around the bend. What is right around the bend is your CPA being replaced by AI, right? So I think that the trades, I mean, I think that there's going to be a massive renaissance in the trades. And in fact, I think we had an episode where we were talking about how we, if you look at someone who just comes out of high school, skips college, goes right into an apprenticeship to become an electrician, becomes an electrician, works their whole life, saves well, and invests, a doctor can't catch up.
Yep.
I mean, a doctor gets out of school 8 years later, goes to residency. It's a decade before that doctor is making good money. And when you look at the compounding interest of just that additional decade of saving well, making a good wage, and investing it, and the compound chart, the doctor can't catch up. It's wild. So I, you know, don't sleep on the trades.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when you factor in the debt that they come out with that they have to pay down, and especially where interest rates are now.
Right. Anyway, just an interesting point when you're when you're thinking about life decisions as a young person.
Yeah, so it's just making sure you're setting your kids up for success and not, you know, coming out of college with huge debt that you're never going to make enough to be able to pay off.
Right.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Gary, tell us about your podcast. What do you guys talk about and what's the name of it?
Sure. It's Grow Your Business and Grow Your Wealth. And on the podcast, the reason why I started back in 2020. And the reason why I started it was in dealing with business owners. So many of them are, you know, very good tacticians, plumbers, electricians, you know, retired service people that are now, you know, basically doing the same thing, but doing it for the, you know, for themselves and working for the government as a contractor, whatever it may be. They're very good at what they're doing. Next thing you know, they're doing side work. Next thing you know, they got a job. Next thing you know, it's, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, and they missed all the blocking and tackling of business. They're afraid to ask questions because they don't want to sound stupid to people. So what they do is they just kind of put their head in the sand and hope that nobody asks any of those questions of them. And so what I've done on the show is try to bring people on, A, to talk about, hey, here's some different tax strategies and stuff. But these are some of the questions you should be asking of your financial advisor, your attorney, your CPA, whoever it is that you may have that is helping you. These are some questions to be thinking about. Bringing on others that may have alternative investments or think a little bit differently about things. So what we're really just trying to do, I'm trying to do with it, is just really educate people to get them to pull together the right team, make sure it's right for them, and that they're able to communicate. They feel comfortable asking questions and getting answers.
That's great.
You know, from people with it.
Fantastic.
Well, Gary, yeah, I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge with us. How do people jump on your newsletter or get in touch with you?
Sure. So if you just go to our website, www.sbadvisors.cc, that's Charlie, you can go on there, right? There's a sign up for it, and you can, you know, mark if you want personal, if you want business, if you want both, and you're able to get on our mailing list.
Love it.
And make sure that it's .charlie there, because there is something totally separate that's sbaadvisors.com. It's sbaadvisors.cc. Correct, Gary?
Correct. That's correct.
Excellent.
Well, that's great. Thanks for tuning in this week, listeners. And if you enjoyed our content or you're enjoying our show, always leave us a review or you can shoot us a question. Thanks for joining us this week, and we'll catch you on the next episode.